case today is 2018-1259, Colcraft Enterprises v. Graco Children's Products. Mr. Wallenberg?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. This is my first argument at the Federal Circuit, and I just wanted to say that it is a pleasure and an honor to be arguing before this panel.
Welcome to the Court, Counselor.
Thank you. The Patent Trial and Appeal Board erred as a matter of law in two critical respects. First, in finding that Colcraft failed to establish that the inventors of Colcraft's design patents at issue, Damon Troutman and Edward Brechker, conceived of and actually reduced to practice the inventions recited in the design patents prior to the January 7th, 2004 critical date of the Chen prior art reference. And two, in finding that Colcraft failed to establish that the inventors exercised reasonable diligence in actually reducing the inventions to practice during the remarkably short 19-day critical period. Now, under this Court's rule of reason analysis, the Board fundamentally erred by admittedly not considering all pertinent evidence of records.
But, Counselor, what do we do about the decision of the Board with respect to the exhibits, where they find that the exhibits accompanying the declaration are undated and with no identification, if any identification at all, it's only via the conclusory and uncorroborated testimony of the inventors?
Your Honor, the Board, I believe you're addressing the Board holding that the inventor's testimony was not corroborated by non-inventor testimony.
Yeah, and even the exhibits, they're undated. And you only have the testimony of the inventors that to corroborate the exhibits. I mean, we're dealing with a priority date case, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
So you've given us some exhibits, or we have exhibits that were presented to the Board, and we have them here before us, but yet there's no date on the exhibits.
Your Honor, so Colcraft had originally filed the inventor's declaration without the confidential specific pre-2004 dates. There had been no protective order in place. Colcraft did, however, produce a copy of the full declaration to Graco's counsel prior to their depositions of the inventors, Mr. Troutman and Mr. Brechker. And Colcraft subsequently filed the full declaration with the pre-2004 dates with the Board prior to the oral hearing. Graco's counsel, and this was also filed prior to Graco's reply. As I said, it was filed before their the depositions of the inventors, and it was also not challenged by Graco's counsel at the oral hearing. Likewise, the board improperly considered only the portions of the inventors' depositions that were selectively quoted by Graco. All of the inventors' deposition testimony became a part of the record when Graco submitted every page of both inventors' deposition transcripts with its reply, and this is required by law under 37 Code of Federal Regulation 42.53.
I'm sorry, I'm confused. What is the corroboration that you think exists in this record?
Your Honor, it goes without saying that the drawings in the inventor's declaration do not need to be corroborated because they are physical exhibits.
But the date upon which they came into existence has to be corroborated.
That's correct, Your Honor. Now, the dates showing the conception and reduction to practice in the inventor's declaration were independently corroborated. Because the drawings and the prototypes depicted in the declaration exhibits were stored in computer files, and the
dates. None of that's in this record.
Your Honor, the computer files were provided to Graco for analysis.
But providing them to Graco isn't the same thing as making them as evidence as part of the record. I mean, like in a trial, right? Like there's what's presented at trial is evidence of record, and there might have been a lot of stuff exchanged in discovery, but that's not evidence of record.
Your Honor, so during the inventor's deposition, during their depositions, Graco's counsel did reference the computer files that Graco had produced and it's unchallenged that it was produced to Graco.
You had the obligation to establish the date upon which each of these drawings came in, or pictures, whatever they are, came into existence. And where in this record did you establish it? You're saying we established it because we gave them computer files, and somebody, some computer scientist or someone, could go in and on metadata or something and get the dates. I'm not sure exactly how you propose to get the date off the computer file, how much effort is required to do so. I don't know. It's not even part of the record, not even in the appendix, not something that we have in front of us. So I'm confused as to how those computer records could, in this case, corroborate when they're not even, we don't even have them.
Your Honor, so in Colcraft's patent owner's response, Colcraft did file exemplary images of metadata that was filed during the prosecution of some of Colcraft's related patents. These patents were directed to the exact same commercial embodiment that is at issue in these design patents, and those images were used in Exhibit H of the inventor's declaration that was submitted to the board.
I'm trying to recall your patent owner's response. I don't recall it describing any metadata. I seem to recall it referencing the declarations of the inventors, and it's a really short declaration, and the declaration doesn't reference any metadata. And that would have been the time, I think, to submit the metadata. As I understand it, all that was submitted were the photos and the CAD drawings and the one-page declaration.
Your Honor, so as I stated, we did submit metadata from other of Colcraft's patents that were directed to the exact same commercial
embodiment. It was attached to your patent owner response?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Is it in the JA?
Yes.
Is it the metadata that reveals the date of creation or the last date of creation of all the different CAD drawings?
This one was specific to Exhibit H, so this was the last exhibit.
The last one that Colcraft postdates
That's correct, Your Honor.
The priority date of the prior art reference.
That's correct, Your Honor. But as I stated, there is a 19-day window for the critical period. Exhibit H is essentially a full embodiment, a full prototype of the
And why didn't you submit the metadata for the exhibits A through G?
Your Honor, we didn't feel that it was necessary at that point, and we
rely on the inventor testifying that they were all created before the critical date?
Your Honor, yes, the inventors did testify they were created before the critical date. And
right, I guess I'm saying it was your view that that was good enough to establish the earlier conception date to predate the prior art reference.
That, coupled with the fact that we were providing examples of metadata that had been filed previously during the prosecution of Colcraft's related patents, yes.
The metadata was with respect to just Exhibit H.
That's correct. Okay. And
just curious, I'll ask again because I'm still confused. Why wasn't the metadata attached to Exhibits A through G in the patent owner response?
Your Honor, we didn't feel at the time that that was necessary. Subsequently, after we had filed our patent owner's response, Graco wanted to depose Mr. Troutman.
And corroboration is like the touchstone of establishing actual reduction to practice as well as conception.
That's correct, Your Honor. And we did subsequently provide the metadata to Graco's counsel, and Graco's counsel asked pointed questions to Mr. Troutman and Mr. Brechker, asking how they came up with these dates. Graco's counsel even acknowledged that they'd received these files, that they'd received the metadata. So that in and of itself, we believe, qualifies at a minimum as circumstantial evidence that corroborates the inventor's testimony. And I would also like to point out that Mr. Troutman did communicate weekly with Mr. Brechker on his progress designing the commercial embodiment of the Colcraft design patents. And Mr. Brechker, in turn, confirmed that it was Mr. Troutman who created the images in the inventor's declaration. And he also confirmed that these pre-2004 dates were based off of digital data that, as I stated, was provided to Graco's counsel. Now, the policy behind the corroboration requirement is to ensure that an inventor does not simply make up a date to antedate the prior art. The whole reason for that requirement is satisfied here. Graco does not dispute that they had received this metadata. We did provide exemplary image metadata in our patent owner's response. Under a rule of reason, we feel that substantial evidence does not support the board's finding that the inventor's testimony was not corroborated. Now, when viewing all the evidence of record that the board should have considered, the drawings and prototypes submitted with the inventor's declaration have the same overall appearance as the Colecraft design patents, and this is shown in pages 18 through 22 of the Blue Book. Now, in its final written decision, the board determined that four features describe the overall design of the design patents: curved legs that bow outward, no fabric covering the exposed legs, a slight outward flaring at the top of the legs, and a lack of an outward flaring at the bottom of the legs. When viewing all the evidence of record that the board should have considered under the rule of reason, there is substantial evidence that at least exhibits E, F, and G to the inventor's declaration, all of which predate Chen's January 7th, 2004 critical date.
I think it's your burden to show that there was no substantial evidence for the board to conclude to the contrary. And I guess what I saw the board rely on was a statement from your own inventors, which described, I believe it was Exhibit G, as having those legs as being substantially exposed.
Your Honor,
not all exposed.
Your Honor, if you take a look, and this is in Colecraft's reply brief at page 13, it's very clear just by viewing that image that there is no fabric covering the legs, because the fabric mesh is a significant distance away from the legs. The mesh of the players extends directly down from the top of the player.
Are we talking about Exhibit G right now?
Yes, Your Honor.
That's not foam that's covering the blue legs?
The foam itself is acting as the exposed legs. That is what the foam itself represents. And that's what Mr. Troutman and Mr. Breschker testified to during their depositions.
You're well into your rebuttal time. Do you want to save the remainder?
Yes, please. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Harbin?
May it please the court, the appellee, Graco Children's Products, believes that substantial evidence supports each of the board's decisions. I want to focus on the issue that the court has already addressed, the corroboration issue, the failure to corroborate, or we would submit even really attempt to corroborate, either simply the dates of conception and reduction of practice or the alleged diligence in the reduction to practice after the critical date or effective date of Chen, which was January 7, 2004, and focus on the issue that appellant's counsel raised about this declaration that was filed in another case. We think that is clearly insufficient to meet the Colecraft's burden of production to show reduction or conception or reduction to practice and to corroborate the exhibits here for the patents here.
That Hollenberg suggested that the metadata for the exhibits was turned over to Graco and utilized by Graco in the deposition, I think, of one of the experts. Is that right?
No, Colecraft did not have an expert, Your Honor. They had the two inventors. We did ask them about the dates that they represented, and they testified it's based on metadata. We did not do any full forensic examination of the metadata because they never met their burden of putting this in the record.
Did they turn the metadata over to you? Because that's what he suggested.
They turned some files over, whether it's full metadata or not. They turned some files over, some source files over. And that's it. But they never produced them in the case. They never cited metadata in the initial petition. They never used the word corroboration. I mean, not the petition, in the patent owner's response. They never used the word corroboration, much less argued corroboration. And their argument about diligence was one sentence.
Are you aware of, by any means, what the metadata demonstrates as to dates of creation or modification of the files that constitute the exhibits in this case? I didn't ask if it's a matter of record. I asked if you were aware of it.
I am aware, based on a simple search, that I think there is potential support for the dates that they testified to. Whether they're actually the dates, we did not do a full examination.
I appreciate your candor.
Right. And I would argue about this. They did file Rule 131 declarations that they used to, in their words, oppose priority of Chin patents, plural. None of those were about the 393 patent at issue here. And they were generally the same conclusory statements by the inventors that they're talking about. The one that did purportedly have metadata examples attached, it was, again, hard copy documents attached. Number one, it was about a different patent, utility patent of Chin, utility patent of versus utility patent of Colcraft.
And it was also only relevant to Exhibit H, is that correct?
Well, we kind of surmised that, but this here is the first. There was no attempt to link any of those Rule 131 declarations in these other proceedings, including this particular one, to the patents or issues in this case. They didn't go into any detail until the reply brief on appeal before this court. They didn't go into it at all in their patent owner response or at the hearing. And we can't tell if it, we surmise it appears to be Exhibit H or after, because the critical date they're trying to swear behind in that on that patent was mid-April 2004, 3 months later. But again, the exhibits attached are hard to read. The blanks are dated, are blocked out. The dates that they're saying evidence some date of conception are blocked out, so you can't really tell. They do appear to be either at or after the date of Exhibit H, which they agree is after the effective date of Chin. And again, they're relying on the same inventor's testimony to testify about what that metadata shows in those declarations. So we think, Your Honor, clearly the patent owner, Colcraft, utterly failed to corroborate either the conception or reduction to practice or the diligence. And on the diligence, they did not even really try to corroborate. And we would submit, leaving aside for a moment the question of the lack of corroboration, the evidence they put on is does not otherwise meet the court's requirements, because all they made was the conclusory statements, which were alluded to by patent owner's counsel, that we worked on it every day. We never put it down. You know, the corroboration is governed by a rule of reason, but you have to have specificity as to both facts and dates, and both were lacking in their declarations. And for that matter, in the depositions, which again, they complain about the board declining to review the unredacted declaration, and they say the board should have reviewed the depositions on their own. Maybe the board did or maybe they didn't. But clearly, Colcraft was advised repeatedly by the board, beginning with the scheduling order, of the need to, you know, make your arguments timely, submit your evidence timely. It was, again, in the scheduling order for the oral hearing, which, again, is standard in IPR proceedings. They did not do anything between our reply brief of April 2017 and the hearing date of July 6, 2017, except they filed the unredacted declaration the day before the hearing, without seeking leave from the board. I think it was clearly within the board's discretion to decline to review that declaration. Their rationale, there wasn't a protective order in there, but there clearly was a protective order in place for filing, you know, protective procedures in place for filing confidential information earlier, and they never tried to introduce any deposition testimony. They did try to argue about deposition testimony for the first time at the hearing, but they never tried to introduce it. So I submit they utterly failed their burden of corroboration on all of the issues. Finally, Your Honor, we would also submit the board was correct that Colcraft failed to meet their burden of production on the substantive questions of conception and reduction to practice, and that ultimately the drawings and prototypes that are, that comprise these exhibits A through H do not show conception or reduction, or as far as A to G, which are the only ones they claim are prior to Chen, show reduction to practice or conception. A couple of points about that, Your Honor. I can only hit a few highlights because it gets very detailed in the facts. But number one, the design was repeatedly changing. The curvature, degree of bowing, the legs was changing. The nature of the arc of the legs was changing between A, exhibits A and G. And even in G is incomplete. They wanted substantially oval legs, but they had not figured out how to do it. So they had this foam cover to put on the legs to reflect substantially oval legs. So even as of exhibit G, which is the last exhibit before the effective date of Chen, if you accept Colcraft's date, it's not complete. It doesn't represent a definite and permanent idea of the complete and operative invention. So it's not conception, and it's clearly not reduction to practice. And another reason is just from the appearance. The board ruled that Exhibit E has a slight flare at the bottom. We contend, while the board did not address this one way or the other in their final written decision, we contend that difference shows up in several of the exhibits, including G and H. And regarding the substantially oval leg, which is what Colcraft states they were shooting for, that is reflected in the later group of exhibits, including G and H, the design patents do not show a substantially oval leg. You can't tell if the legs in the design patents are perfectly circular in cross-section or somewhat oval, but they're clearly not the substantial oval that appears in exhibits G and H and some of the other exhibits. So the prototypes do not reflect a conception or reduction to practice of what was actually claimed in the patents. Colcraft really argued about general design concepts like a play yard with an exposed leg that's bowed. So we would submit for all these reasons, Your Honor, substantial evidence supported each of the board's decisions, unless the court has any other questions.
No, thank you very much, Mr. Hartman. Mr. Wallenberg, you have some rebuttal time.
Thank you. Your Honor, Graco's counsel criticized Colcraft for not requesting additional briefing after Graco's reply, but the board explicitly stated in the scheduling order that no further substantive paper would be permitted after the reply. That's in page 2044 of the joint appendix. Colcraft abided by that order. And I would also like to point out that in order to correct a prejudicial result to a party like Colcraft here, the USPTO now grants SIR replies as a matter of right in IPRs. And this is pursuant to the USPTO's trial practice guide that was recently updated in August of 2018.
They always permitted the ability for a patent owner to file a motion for a SIR reply.
Your Honor, the scheduling order was pretty clear that
as a matter of right, you're not allowed to just come in and start submitting papers. You have to file a motion.
That's
correct.
And
if you do file a motion and it's granted, then whatever additional information that is granted to be entered, you can enter it at that time.
That's correct, Your Honor. But as I stated, the scheduling order did just explicitly state that no further papers would be permitted after the reply. And I would just also like to point out that this court's predecessor has recognized that it is not necessary to produce an actual over-the-shoulder observer to satisfy the corroboration requirement. The law does not impose an impossible standard of independence on corroborative evidence by requiring that every point be corroborated by evidence having a source totally independent of the inventor. Indeed, such a standard is the antithesis of the rule of reason. This is Knorr versus Pearson. And based on the evidence that I discussed with Your Honors previously, the board's and Graco's cooperation analysis violates the rule of reason and imposes an unreasonable standard of independence on cooperative evidence. I would also like to point out that under Graco's counsel identifies what are supposed differences between the exhibits in the inventor's declaration as compared to the design patents. In order, one need not show that the pictures, the prototypes, and the images in the declaration be identical to the design patents. It's the overall appearance. So under Graco's analysis, it would be virtually impossible to ever antedate a prior art reference and show conception and reduction to practice in the design patent context. So for the foregoing reasons, Colcraft respectfully requests that this court reverse the board's final written decision finding the claims of Colcraft's design patents at issue unpatentable over the Chen reference. If your honors have no further questions, I'm done.
Okay, thank both counsel for their argument. This case is taken under submission.
All rise.